I'd like to invite you to pull out your little blue bulletin. We're going to sing this psalm refrain a couple of times during our during the sermon. So if you'll be prepared to sing the psalm refrain. Grace to you and peace from God who creates, redeems, and sustains all things. Amen. In this cycle year, our Lent begins with this incredible story of what we've come to call the temptation of Jesus. Put yourself for just a moment in Jesus' place. Does this sound like fun to you? I mean, I had one person say in the first service, well, maybe. But of course, we know how it turns out, right? We've read this story a million times, and we know how it turns out for Jesus. But put yourself for a moment in this place of having this possibility of having everything, if only you will give up yourself. If only you will give up yourself, you could have it all. It says in our gospel that Jesus was fasting for 40 days. 40 days. Well, I got to tell you, if I fast for 40 minutes, I mean, I start to get a little nervous. And then of all things, the tempter tempts Jesus with carbs, bread. I felt this particularly keenly last night, having fasted for 40 minutes, and then Jeannie put the communion bread in to bake. Y'all are lucky you're having communion today with something other than wafers. The tempter comes to Jesus and he says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to turn to bread. You who are so hungry. Jesus' response is to turn to the word that has sustained him from his youth. Mark, you need to be in your bench. We're about to sing. We can't do this without you. Yes! He returns to the word and he says, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth, from the mouth of God. I don't know about you, but man, when I'm tempted not in that kind of moral kind of stuff that we talk about all the time, but tempted to stop being who it is that God has made me to be. Maybe one direction to go is to return back again to our root, to the texts of our youth. Let's sing together that psalm refrain. Of course, the thing is that we fail, right? How many of you in your quest to become who it is that God has made you to be have been on a perfect, uninterrupted journey? No mistakes. No backtracks. We've all been tempted. We've all fallen short, to use those wonderful words of Paul, of the glory of God. And we acknowledge that we have done so. And then as it says in that refrain in Psalm 32, and God has forgiven us our shortcomings. So then the devil takes Jesus to the holy city and puts him way up on the top. And he says to Jesus, look, throw yourself down, jump, and the holy angels, make them pick you up and carry you off. They wrote a whole hymn about that. Have you ever been tempted to be different than you are, or people have an expectation of you that isn't particularly in sync with you, who you are? I get this all the time as a pastor. I will admit that I may not be the most conventional of pastors. It may be on rare occasions that things may come out of my mouth that seem less than holy, usually involving some property issue at Lutheran Church of Honolulu or the bloody chairs. But it's amazing how often people will say to me, well, that's not very pastoral, or that's not what a pastor should say. It's as if all of you, no matter what profession you're in or who you are, do you ever find people putting you in a box that you don't think you belong in? We create for ourselves, and society creates for us a sense of who we ought to be. And if you are the Son of God, Jesus, throw yourself down, because if you were the Son of God, then surely the angels would lift you up so that you do not dash your foot against the stone. If you were a really good Christian, then you would do this. If you were a really good lawyer, you would do that. I remember when the mayor was doing his bit about homelessness here in Honolulu, I remember becoming completely outraged when he said, you know, the churches are not doing their part. They should be building houses on their vast properties. I remember thinking to me, hey man, I have seen City Hall. You got you some lawn. We always have expectations for what others should do and what God should do and what Jesus should do. But it's not who Jesus is, or maybe who we are. And so Jesus says to the tempter, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And maybe for us it is that we confess that we have not been who God has made us to be, and that we beg for God's presence in our lives. Let's sing again that psalm refrain. So then again, Jesus is taken up to a very high place, and this is the greatest temptation of all, and goes way up into the pinnacle of things, and you can see the whole earth laid out at Jesus' feet, and the tempter says to Jesus, look, if you will just bow down to me and worship me, all this will be yours. We live in a world where there is this myth. And the myth is this: you can have it all. You can have anything you want. If you just work hard enough and sacrifice enough, if you just do more, you can have whatever you want. I found this most poignantly a few years back when they interviewed the first woman who was a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Imagine, okay, men don't imagine because you can't, but imagine what it must be like to fight your way through American corporate world to become a CEO as a woman. It's amazing. I'm married to one. I kind of get it, right? Because I have watched what she's done in her career and how she has fought and has been sort of, no, you're just not quite right. But this woman, it was just astonishing to hear about her journey and all the things that she had been put through and all the things that she had done. And finally, she had arrived at the top of her game and she decided to have a baby. And when asked about it, she said, "I think we can have it all." Which is, of course, the great lie. We can't have it all. It's sort of like trying to be a celebrity. I want to be famous and humble. You know, and that tricky thing of being, I want to be ultra wealthy and have everything in the world, but I also want to live simply in the Lord. It's possible, it's really hard. We think we can have it all, but it turns out that the price is just, it's just too high. Maybe the exceptional folks like this wonderful, wonderful career person that I spoke of earlier can manage it. But us mere mortals, we often fall short. And then we feel bad. Because we've believed the lie that we can have everything if only we will give ourselves up for it. But God has not made us that way. God has made us to be and created us to be who we are. In all of our shortcomings and faults, some of us, I have to say, myself among, we're just born to be average and we'd better learn to live with it. Not that we shouldn't always strive for excellence and love and peace and make changes in the world, but we cannot have it all without destroying our very selves. And so we return to the Lord our God, who is gracious and who calls us again to be who we are called to be. And so Jesus looks at this tempter and says, "Worship the Lord your God and serve God alone." We cannot worship success or wealth or humility or generosity, or career, or upward mobility, or love. We can only worship God. And in that, we have it all. We have it all. For this God who made us and redeems us and calls us again and again to serve one another and God, brings us that peace of ourselves that comes in knowing whose we are and for what we have been made. And so we return to God and we sing these words. Of the power of the temptation falls away from Jesus. And the angels wait upon him. And as we sing those words, all of the weight of temptations for success, for position, for elevated humility and holiness and rightness and pureness and moral fortitude and all of the things that we've come to worship fall away from us. That we can be God's people in this place to live and serve. For we have been unburdened by that temptation. And we have been given the gift of true life. God's sun shining upon us, that we may grow to be who God has called us to be. Amen.